what a great song by you. You know this song, Solana?
Banger.
You know this song, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know this? Have you heard this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a 90s kid.
Great song. Matt Steinmetz is not joining us this hour. I lied.
Big man.
He's going to join us at 5. He thought he was coming on at 4 o'clock his time. He's in the Bay Area. He thought it was 4 o'clock his time, and it's 4 o'clock. It was supposed to be 4 o'clock our time, so he'll be ready in an hour, though. So 5 o'clock, we'll talk some NBA Finals. Hold on, I got to look at the line here real quick and see if it's... Because it went from Toronto minus 1.5 to Toronto minus 1 in the... Yeah, it's still minus 1 right now. So Kevin Durant's going to play. There's not going to be a minutes limit tonight. This is, I mean, this is get your popcorn television, right?
It is.
I mean, they've got everything on the line here. I told you at the beginning of the show, First Take was debating, hey, is the Golden State Warriors dynasty a faux dynasty? And both of us were pretty amazed because Max Kellerman presented this. I think Jay Williams was on the set with them. Stephen A. Smith was there. Yeah. And Max Kellerman, I thought, did a great. Now, they poo-pooed him and sent him out to an island that they always put him on. But I thought he made a great case that maybe this vaunted Golden State Warriors dynasty is not as great as originally thought of. Now, obviously, go to 5 straight NBA Finals in a row. Yeah. I'm not saying that you're not a good team, a great team, a historic team, but the way Max Kellerman painted it, right, against Cleveland in the first one, LeBron is missing Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. It's LeBron and a bunch of scrubs. And what? It took him 6 games, right? 6 games to beat Cleveland that series. Yeah. And then... last year, they get through Houston. Houston's injured. No Chris Paul.
Barely. Remember, because Chris Paul went down, and that's when they end up winning.
They give up a 3-1 lead to Cleveland. Now, Kevin Love and Kyrie were playing, right? But they give up a 3-1 lead. This is a dynasty.
Yeah.
And end up losing that finals. They win the finals the first year that Kevin Durant is there, right? So that was their second in a row.
But then he was the MVP.
Right.
So, like, he brought that to
yes.
them. So he wasn't there to start a dynasty. He was an addition.
He has
some good points now.
I thought it was interesting by Max Kellerman. Like, hey, this is not the dynasty that you think it is. And his point was, the reason that they were debating it on First Take was, hey, if Golden State loses tonight, if they lose 4-1 to Toronto, so they will have won what? 2 out of 5? Is that right?
Three
out of five. And... one of them was against LeBron and a bunch of nobodies. And one of them, they got to the NBA Finals by going through an injured Houston team that a lot of people thought would beat them. Like Max Kellerman was saying, yeah, tonight they're playing, and I guess for the next 3 games, really, they're playing for the right to be called the dynasty.
I'm 100% with that. With last year, last Western Conference Finals, if CP3 was a hamstring, I believe, if he's healthy, later in that series, they lose because they were getting whooped. I don't know.
I think a lot of people thought Houston would have beaten them if they weren't injured.
Are they a dynasty? I don't think he's saying they're not a dynasty. But if you want to put them up there with the Showtime Lakers, you want
like
to put
the
them up
real
there.
Real dynasty teams.
90s
I refuse
Bulls?
To use the word dynastic.
They're a dynastic.
Nah, I refuse
team.
To use that.
The 90s Bulls, Showtime Lakers, was it the 80s Celtics?
Yeah.
They're not that.
Okay, but to be fair, if we're going to do the, oh, they beat the Cavs in 6 with nobody, right? Dele, Tristan Thompson, Timofey Mozgov, then I also think it's fair to say they beat the Cavs in 5 when Kyrie and Kevin Love were healthy with LeBron, with a Kyle Korver. Like, I do think it's fair to point that out as well. Because they did, with KD, that second title that they won, or the first one that they won with KD, like, that was a healthy Cleveland Cavaliers team that swept Toronto, swept everybody in the playoffs, swept Atlanta, and got there as well.
Oh, you're talking about a single season or a single series, really, with that team. They're,
right.
They're a good team. They're a good, just to Steve Kerr, they're a dynasty. They are a dynasty. He was putting them up against those, the Bulls and the Lakers and those guys.
Like the
where
teams,
does he rank there?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Kellerman was like, it's laughable to put them in the conversation with the Bulls. Laughable. I'm just looking. Somebody texted in that they bet KD before the series to win MVP. You could bet him right now. Odds to win series MVP, Kevin Durant. Now, if Golden State wins, it's going to be because of Kevin Durant, and he's going to win the MVP.
Plus 25,000.
It's plus 1,000. Bet $100, win 1,000.
It should be higher than that. The guy comes back.
If he comes back,
plays in three games,
leads them to, which, by the way, is not out of the question. This is the part that I find so intriguing. If he has his timing, got his wind, it is not out of the question that Kevin Durant leads them to three straight victories, wills them to three straight victories. And by the way, if you're Kevin Durant, and I know you don't have to prove anything to anybody, you've got your ring, like you're good to go, and you're probably going to go play somewhere else. But if you're Kevin Durant, I imagine you're thinking about it today, right? I have a chance to cement every doubt, to cement any kind of negative comment about my coming to Golden State just to glom on. Like, I can do away with that with three wins.
And with last series, after he went down, everybody's talking about, oh, it's better. And I even said it. It's more fun of a game to watch when KD's not there because there's no ISO.
If they're hitting and stuff.
Yeah, but then remember earlier in the season, Draymond, there was reports that he was like, hey, we don't really need you. Leave if you want to leave and all that. I think KD's ego is talking to him right now saying, all those doubters, all those people out there saying we don't need you. Now it's 3-1. Now if I come back and we're 3-2 and then 3-3, and then 4-3, y'all better shut the hell up. He has to. Any athlete has that mind frame.
Right. Well, I can shut everyone. And you know, KD, he bookmarks all those tweets, man. He is all about calling out the haters and detractors and telling them why they're wrong. This guy could shut everyone up from now till eternity, just like LeBron did in Cleveland. I brought you your championship. It's over. Like, it doesn't matter what I do. I got you the championship. I got you the parade. There's nothing more that could ever be said. Kevin Durant can put an end to any kind of debate anywhere, which, listen, it's foolish anyway. He's the best player in the NBA. If he's not the best, he's the second best. Yeah. He's got the second best IQ in the NBA.
No, Jack. I ain't going down that wormhole.
Saturday. Saturday, I'm out with my wife and kid. We stop somewhere to get a burger, and she looks and she goes to me, so now explain to me why you think LeBron James has a higher basketball IQ than Kevin Durant.
Get him, Lord.
And I go, if you think I'm having that conversation now, after I had it with Crowder and Solana on Friday for 20 minutes, and I hated every single second of it. I said, you absolutely don't know me if you ask me that question.
Put your hand in a little slapping motion, didn't you?
Did you take that out of the podcast?
It's clipped 20 minutes, just the IQ debate between
the
Crowder and
the worst segment of basketball radio that we've ever done.
Sports.
Steinmart. He should go with Steinmart.
No, I think it's Steinmetz.
Matt Steinmetz.
We'll ask him about the IQ.
He's one of the Radio.com insiders just like you.
Hey, get that sack.
Just like you.
This, on the series, what you just said, this is where we differ. KD comes back, Clay's healthy, KD's healthy, Steph's healthy. I don't believe they can run Toronto down because I think Toronto's a lot better than people give them credit for.
Well, there's some validity to that. I'm with you on that. Toronto had the second best record in the NBA, and they're all playing well.
They
seem to be very deep, right? They go to Danny Green, and he's hitting shots. They have Fred VanVleet, he's hitting shots. He's able to drive. Pascal Siakam, he can spot up for three. He can bang a rebound when you need it. Like
the big boy, Serge Powell. Norman, you brought him up during the break. Norman Powell.
Norman Powell is my guy. I love Norman Powell.
He gives some good minutes. They're okay guys. And this is an old cliche. Your stars have to play like stars. Your mid-tier decent players have to play above themselves. Toronto, everybody's playing above themselves right now. Kawhi's playing great. Marc Gasol and Serge are playing above themselves. I fell in love with Fred VanVleet.
Look at you.
You see, I put the V in there because it's hard for me to say. In this series and, you know, and the Western Conference, the Eastern Conference, that's what you need to win. I don't think there's a damn thing that the Warriors can do to win this series. Can they win a game tonight? Yes, I believe they can. I don't think they can win the series. I think that's where we differ.
What have I told you, though? Everything after four games has gone perfectly for the Raptors.
That's what I'm saying.
Everything.
Like, it can't continue to go perfectly, right?
Fred Van Vliet is hitting every shot. He's hitting one-step fall-away jumpers over Andre Iguodala. Marc Gasol is hitting everything from the mid-range. They're getting every rebound. Like, every bounce, every tip, every shot has gone the Raptors' way. Can they do it again for three more games?
But I can't.
Well, they only need to do it for one game.
I can't take that thought in the fact that there are nine players all, I don't say getting lucky, but all just having balls drop for him. Like, there's not going
to
be
right,
a time
there's
war.
Something more to that. I got you.
All nine players are now going to go in the tank. Like, if Kawhi was dropping 45 a night, and you're just like, hey, man, Kawhi's not going to be able to go 45 every night, I got you. Danny Green's not going to be off the same time as Van Fleet, the same time as Serge, the same time as – I said Fleet again.
I know.
The same time as Serge, the same time as
People
Mark.
Cannot say Fred Van Vliet. They can't say it. I mean, it's humans. Humans can't say it.
Why would his daddy do that to him?
Because they put the F in the first name, so Fred Van Vliet, you feel like saying it. It was Mark Van Vliet. It would be easier to say than Fred Van Vliet because the F is already there. I don't know, but we as humans, we're having trouble. Everyone I talk to wants to tell me about Fred Van Vliet. Fred Van Vliet.
Balling.
Fred Van Vliet.
Got his tooth knocked out and just stayed on the little
Yeah, man. Wood. You see that tooth? It was just there on the hardwood. Like they
Don't you look around? Like if a guy loses a contact, you try to help him find it.
Someone had to have noticed the tooth. I was with you on that one. Like, and if they're showing it on TV, I kind of feel like Jeff Van Gundy has to, you know, hey! There's tooth.
Tooth in the paint.
Tooth in the paint. 3 seconds on the tooth.
I would be mad at my teammates because there were guys lined up.
Right.
For the fact.
Hey, that's my tooth.
Well, that's my incisor. Can you give me my incisor
back? Would you pick
back?
Up someone's tooth without having a glove on?
Well, it wasn't bloody. Yeah, if it wasn't bloody.
Doesn't matter, though, right? Like, it's a tooth. Probably smells.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
No,
do you
not an
pick
incisor.
Up someone
a
else?
Molar stinks.
Someone
an incisor
tooth,
wouldn't
though?
Stink.
Would you, you'd pick
you
up.
Rubbed your tongue on other people's teeth.
What not you Fred Van Vliet.
He's saying a synthesizer? What is that?
Incisor, the ones up front. There's incisors, canines, you're not very bright.
I have teeth. I don't know about
the
you.
The incisors, those are up front?
Incisors? They're the cutters. And the molars are the grinders, and the canines are the little pointies.
What are these? The front teeth.
Incisors.
Those are incisors?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm no DDS, but I believe I believe I got it right.
Hold on. Incisors.
Because yeah, molars in the back. Canines and the inside, the cutters and the chewers. I remember
yeah,
stuff
you're right.
simple. Yeah, I remember simple.
The
stuff.
Front teeth present in most mammals.
Huh. And they don't stink, they have no holes in them.
That was an incisor?
Well.
You sure?
And they're flat on both sides, so they wouldn't have nowhere to hold bacteria.
All right. Well, I think we broke that down pretty well. I would put that against any other radio breakdown of Fred Van Vliet's teeth.
Fred Van Vliet.
I was calling him Fred Van Teeth all night after that happened.
Then you had another one, Fred Van Bleed.
Fred Van Bleed.
Boy, that elbow tore him up.
Boy, it just went, everything started dripping out. It reminded me of Matt Damon in The Martian. You know, when he goes back to the thing and he's trying to stitch himself up, but he pulls that little piece of metal out of his chest. He's doing himself, and then it just, like a fountain. Yeah. Fred Van Fleet, he'd hit the deck and the blood was flowing.
Got clot problems. Might be anemic. He needs to get that checked.
He needs to get that checked, yeah. I'm probably cold all the time up in Toronto. Enough iron in his blood. All right. We have a giveaway today?
We do.
Oh, Disrupt Festival. All right. We'll do that in the next segment. The next segment, got to be listening. Got some cool concert tickets for you to win. Radio.com. Radio.com. 12 years ago, the final episode of The Sopranos aired. This night, 12 years ago.
Did you watch it?
Yes, I did. I didn't watch the first couple of seasons, but then everyone started talking about it, or maybe the first season I started to get into it. So I feel like I've seen every episode. Did you watch it?
No.
Not any of it?
Nope. Never
do you like mob movies?
Yeah, I like The Godfather. I like mob movies.
And this was really well done.
Bro, I think we're kind of similar. You have a better, you know, you have more longevity than me. I can't watch something for years.
Well, yeah, no. It's rare. I'm with you. That is rare for me because I've never, like I've said it before, people get annoyed. I've never seen an episode of 24. I've never seen an episode of The West Wing, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead. I just don't watch episodic television because I don't like to be attached to something for so long. Sopranos was, I don't know, it was one of them, though. And it was like Sunday night. I guess Game of Thrones was, too, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't, 12, so if it ended 12 years ago, it started when I didn't have a kid. It was a lot easier to be able to watch episodic television.
That's true, too.
Life was different.
If you don't watch episodic television before kids, it's no way you're getting into it afterwards.
It's much more difficult.
Because how can I sit my son down and tell him watch Daenerys and Jon Snow make whoopee all the time?
Have you watched Sopranos, Solano?
No, I never
Solano.
Did.
Solano.
Solano. Solano.
Because I said Sopranos.
Yeah.
So I said Solano.
Made
I'm sorry.
Italian.
Alejandro, have you watched Sopranos?
No.
Not one episode?
Never.
Yeah, it's really good. But I have to tell you, it was an HBO series and probably goes on the Mount Rushmore of HBO series. I watched Chernobyl over the weekend. That's on HBO.
The whole thing?
Whole thing. 5 episodes. I've never binge-watched anything in my life. You laugh because I've been raving about Cobra Kai on YouTube TV. You know, I've only finished season 1, and it's been, you know, 4 weeks or whatever. I don't watch TV that way. I don't binge watch.
So, just how can you watch Chernobyl and you can't finish Cobra Kai?
Well, that's how good Chernobyl
or
was.
Or how terrible Cobra Kai
Cobra Kai is excellent. And
no,
I tweeted this out. I do not feel any shame in calling Chernobyl a work of art. That's how good it is. I am telling you. You are going to be amazed at the filmmaking. I don't know if you call it filmmaking. It's 5 episodes. It's a miniseries, essentially, on HBO. It is so unbelievably good. I'm telling you, I don't watch shows that way.
Is it a lot of action? Because Game of Thrones had a whole bunch of setup scenes. They set me up for a season one time.
Well, again, they can't do that for 5 episodes.
Yeah.
But it's not a ton of action. There is something at play, though. You know how I am about nostalgia. Chernobyl happened when I was a junior in high school. Late 80s. I like nostalgia. So I lived through Chernobyl. I remember watching it on the nightly news. I was supposed to go be an exchange student in Russia. I was going to study for 4 weeks in Russia, which back then was kind of unheard of because it was the Soviet Union and it was the Cold War. But I was doing it with a friend of mine and we were going to go and it got canceled. We had gone to a couple of meetings and they told us when we're flying. And it was a lot more difficult to plan stuff back then because there was no internet. So you actually had to go to a meeting and they go like, we'll come back next week and we'll be able to tell you when the flight is going to leave and you'd go with your parents or whatever. And Chernobyl happened and everything got canceled. So
it's terrible, right? Like, what was it, nuclear something? And
yeah, it was a huge nuclear accident.
Killed a bunch of people?
That the Soviet Union, Russia back then, wouldn't acknowledge because they didn't have to. There wasn't any kind of internet. So whatever they told you was the story. Well, what happened was all this nuclear radiation starts getting blown by the wind, and all of a sudden, you know, in the Netherlands, or I forget exactly where, all of a sudden they're getting these readings, and now you're starting to wonder, has someone, you know, lit a nuclear bomb somewhere?
Yeah.
So and now the world is like, what's going on? And so then Russia had to acknowledge that there was an accident, but then they didn't really want to acknowledge the severity of the accident. But then, you know, we had and back then, you'd have to position the satellite and it took a while or whatever. But then, you know, the USA got a satellite photo of Chernobyl and just how devastating the accident was. But I'm telling you, this miniseries is riveting, riveting. You will love it. I think you will too, Solana. Have you watched it? You haven't watched it?
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm actually really interested because I read an article when like they're kind of teasing this whole series that people to this day, like families are still affected from like the nuclear, I guess, blast
or
whatever.
Oh, yeah,
people were born with defects,
yeah.
Birth defects from parents who experienced the
it covered the nuclear radiation covered over 2,000 miles really in Russia. They created what they called an exclusion zone, which was, and they were really like, when you watch it, you'll see what the old Soviet Union was like, and you won't believe what it was like, because it was all about service to the party, the Communist Party. So it was all about service to the party. So if you didn't acknowledge something was wrong, that's fine. Because if the moment you acknowledge that they did something wrong, you were actually kind of a traitor to the party. So you just said, no, there was no accident.
Sounds like most men's marriages.
There's some similarities. There's some similarities.
I'm going to watch it. I can do 5 episodes.
It was really good. It was really good. I cannot recommend this highly enough. It was really good. But I'm telling you, the way that the story was told, it's shot almost in like a dreary color, which is really what the Soviet Union was just, you know, brick buildings with no kind of character. And I mean, smoking like chimneys. And I'm telling you, it is just so unbelievably good. And by the end, when it all comes together, it is just like I guess each episode was like an hour, but like 5 hours. We watched, I think, 3 episodes on Saturday and 2 yesterday, and it was just like easy watching. It was really unbelievable.
Let me know, Crowder. I'll come over. We'll watch it together.
You go do what? Bro, no chance you come to my house. I'll tell you that now. Early in your tenure on the show, you never come into my house.
I'll bring the bunch of crunch.
Hey, you said it funny. I thought about it when you said it. Can you have nostalgia for something terrible?
Right. It's nostalgia for a time, because the story itself is horrific and some of the things that you'll even see.
Yeah.
So it's weird to say that it's a great movie and that it's a work of art, because a lot of the images are horrific and what happened was horrific. But it's more of a tale of the Soviet Union back then and what life was like and whatnot. But yeah, I don't know. I thought about that. I thought about it over the weekend because someone tweeted at me. I thought it was boring. And I tweeted this out. A zillion likes and a bunch of people retweeting it that they loved it as well. But there were 2 tweets that stick out to me of somebody saying, I thought it was boring. And another person said, I think you're just looking at it through the prism of nostalgia because I found it, you know, boring. And so I started thinking to myself, like, can you have nostalgia about bad stuff?
Yeah.
And I don't.
Because nostalgia, in my mind, is good. Like, it's
like nostalgia
to be something
is Frogger.
Exactly.
Like, I see a Frogger machine, and I'm like, oh, Frogger, what a great time.
We were talking about ice cream trucks last week with the snow cone.
Yes,
and
that's
nostalgia.
Rocket pop.
Nostalgia. Chernobyl. Nuclear plant explodes. Boy,
but what
boy,
do you
boy.
Call, what do you call it, though? It would just resonate more with me because I lived through it?
Yeah.
I wonder if either – were you born in 86?
Yeah, I was 3, though.
Yeah, so it didn't.
And I'll tell you, Pauline wasn't worried about Chernobyl. Pauline was worried about you working and eating and stuff.
I think everybody was worried about Chernobyl, though. Like, I think it was such an unknown.
I would tell you, I was young at then, but then through my time in school and different things, like, I've heard Chernobyl at your mouth more than anybody
in my
life.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything that's taught. Americans maybe know about 3 Mile Island. Does that ring a bell at all?
I know 7 Mile Bridge.
That'll get you down the keys, sure.
Yeah.
No, have you heard of 3 Mile Island?
No, but Chernobyl does resonate with me just because Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 1, there was like a big scene in that, and that was one of the best video games of my generation.
3 Mile Island was America's worst nuclear accident. 3 Mile Island is a nuclear plant in, I think, Pennsylvania. Look that up, see if it's in Pennsylvania. But that was a nuclear accident that happened in one of our nuclear power plants, and that was in the 70s. And that was obviously a huge deal. In the 70s, a lot of countries thought that they were just going to transition to nuclear power because it was a clean energy.
Yeah.
Problem is, if it melts down, everybody dies.
Uh-oh. And,
yeah, it's not. I mean, there's the dirty coal in the air, but then again, there's the clean energy. But if there's a mistake, everybody around it dies. Where's 3 Mile Island?
Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, near Harrisburg.
So that was near Harrisburg.
You know what? That's my. I have all those teeth in my mouth and stuff.
Did you grow up around there?
I was born in State College, Pennsylvania, in the 80s.
Oh. I'm not even lying. bro.
That might be why I'm
not
just...
even lying. Because they didn't even have the great controls that they do nowadays. I would imagine FPL would tell you, was it like Turkey Point or something up in like Fort Pierce or something? I think that's nuclear power.
You think I get some money?
I think you should look into it for sure. I would definitely
look
into it.
Why not? Oh,
you sending me to chasing goals.
I'm not the one with three rows of teeth in my mouth. There's got to be a cause
one
for
kidney?
That somewhere.
I was born with one kidney.
You know, I have all I'm those not teeth. Even, I'm not even lying.
I might be a nuclear baby.
I'm not even lying.
See, my father was born in Pennsylvania as well, back in, that'd be the 50s. So it rolled over his head when it blew up.
Anyway, watch it. A bunch of people are texting in. Watch it. It is really, really good.
Any black folks?
Chernobyl. No, Russia and the...
Maybe somebody came over to help.
I don't think there's many black people in Russia now, is there? I don't think so.
I'll met check a black on Russian.
Black Russian.
What up, bro? Like mine. Swings kind.
Anyway, it's on HBO. Watch it. I thought it was honestly a work of art. All right, we detoured there for a second. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back after this. Radio.com. Radio.com. It's the big news today. Kevin Durant is going to play. No minutes restriction. Got a real, if he's healthy, a real ball game tonight. Like this will be a good one.
I hope he can get back good. This has been butt whoopings.
Matt Steinmetz is a host on 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area, and he does part of the Warriors pregame postgame show. He's going to join us in about 15 minutes. He was going to join us at 4:00. We got our lines crossed, so he's going to join us at 5:00. You see the other big sports story today that Justin Bieber challenged Tom Cruise to a fight?
Drugs?
I don't know where it comes from. I don't know, like, weird battle to pick. I didn't know that they had beef.
But why would you want to fight the 56-year-old? Like, that's abuse.
Well, I think Tom Cruise would beat him.
Yeah. I would say, why would you just call out a 56-year-old? I had Tom Cruise, too, because Justin Bieber is all thin and funny-looking and sick.
The tweet he sent, Justin Bieber sent a tweet, I want to challenge Tom Cruise to a fight in the octagon. Tom, if you don't take this fight, you're scared. You're, got it wrong. He missed the contraction there. But you're scared, and you will never live it down. Who is willing to put on the fight? And then he tags Dana White. He's looking for Dana White to sanction the...
They're going
to
make money?
This is not going to... Why would Tom Cruise fight?
They make money. I'm going to fight Morgan Freeman.
Is that who you would challenge?
Yeah. Easy win?
Well, yeah, but I mean, is that really how you want to... Is that how you want to start?
Yeah, they got to be. They got to be drugs.
We got action, baby. Beeps. Tom Cruise?
What is he doing?
I don't know.
We got action, Jack.
You want to see this?
We got action, baby.
Is that something you worked on? I saw you feverishly trying to get stuff together back there. Is this something you worked on before the show in case I hit this story?
We got action, baby.
I have to hear a replay of this. There was a very loud ding. Way too loud for the segment that we were doing. And then some awful Rocky music ripoff from like a CD that you buy that's got the rights to it, you know, and it's called, you know, Ricky, you know, and then just you blurting, we got action, baby.
We got action, Jack. Who you got, Huck?
What? Why are you doing that? Why?
Biebs or TC?
Why are you doing that?
Who you got, Chan?
I thought we were just having a nice conversation about it. Why are you doing this?
Who you got, Chan?
All right, new segment. Work on it, though. Just can you massage out the kinks? New segment starts tomorrow. I'm leaving it totally up to you, Alejandro. Oh.
We got action.
Yeah, it's called We Got Action, ... Who you got? You just, whenever you feel like it, you come in with that bell and this crazy shouting persona you've created. Yeah, that's the bell. And then the music. And then you just yell out, we got action.
We
and
got
then,
action.
No, can I say the segment? And then you say, you know, who you got, and you give us, you know, And it's a street fight? Is that what we're doing? Or he wants a sanctioned fight in the octagon.
Oh, we got to do street fight.
In a street fight? Well, I think Tom Cruise beats him in a street fight or a sanctioned fight.
You know what? I got Biebs because he found the Lord recently.
So he's got the Lord on his side?
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, Scientologist.
That's where the beef comes from.
He's got John Travolta on his side.
Biebs ain't with that Scientology.
Odds Shark has come out with odds for this fight if it does happen. They've got Bieber as a minus 200 favorite.
Yeah.
So you'd bet 200 to win 100. Tom Cruise is at plus 150. Bet 100, you win 150. I think Tom Cruise, he's got old man strength. He's very short.
He's like 5'6".
I think shorter than that. Huh. Like he's a real little dude, but I think he fancies himself kind of the movie characters that he plays. He seems like one of those guys that's been doing it so long and is into Scientology or whatever that I think he has probably lost grasp of reality.
Oh, so he's
double. He's Mission Impossible
guy. Mission Impossible. He's a dive out of an airplane.
Right.
It's going to work out.
Yeah, if I could dive out of an airplane and live, I know I could take Justin Bieber in a fight.
He does do his own stunts, too.
Yeah, but I think that's another one of those I believe my own pub things. Like, I think he tells you he does his own stunts. And, there's no chance that he's jumping out of an airplane.
No.
There's no chance.
Jackie Chan does his own stunts.
Try your segment again. I just want to say, yeah, there it is. Oh!
Tenemos acción.
We have action. You don't have any money?
What you got?
We got.
Well, just Biebs and TC.
No, I would. We covered it.
Who do you got, Chan?
They don't go. But we just covered it.
Chan's going Biebs. We called Chan in so long.
Talked about yourself in the third person weird. And said something really weird.
It's all
Chan's
weird.
Going Biebs. You have us thrown off with this new segment.
You guys saw Bumgarner and Max Muncy going at it in the on the diamond.
I did. I don't understand a lot of that stuff. Did you see? I walked right into that.
He was lining himself
up. He really did, and I walked right into it.
We got action, huh?
Yahoo.
Got Bum.
Gonna make him nickname.
And Max.
When did you decide on this? Like, when? At what point in the day did you say that? Because obviously you put that together. You put the bell and the music bed. You had some forethought into this. I got to know when you put this together.
On my write in, just like, figured it'd be a good one.
Just kind of spitballing.
But how is it going to go? We want to help, bro. Like, how is it going to go? Then you say, who you got?
Well, who you got?
And then we give our sides.
Right.
All right. I don't mind it.
Just need some.
I didn't mind that one at all. That one caught me off guard, but actually it was fun when it happened.
Ding ding ding.
Yeah. There's something hypnotic about it. Like it's almost like when you go to a wait, there it is again. We have another one.
It's just the bell.
Oh, because it's like when you go to a game and they do the thing, everybody clap your hands. I've told you, it's hypnotic. You could be doing it, and it's just like, and you don't even know that you do it. It's just hypnotic. Anytime you hear that, everybody clap your hands. And I found, like, I thought he was actually asking me about, what's the dude's name? Josh Baumgartner? Jason Baumgartner?
Yeah, Josh Baumgartner.
Josh Baumgartner.
Oh, Madison, sorry. Madison Baumgartner.
Look at y'all.
This dude agreed with me.
Dawson, Jason? Yeah.
You know what? You did the Ben Bolin thing where you sounded...
I think I'm thinking of Josh Baumgart, a guy who used to work at this radio station.
Exactly.
I honestly think that's what I was thinking of, Madison Baumgartner. But he suckered me into the conversation. I thought he was actually bringing it up, like, hey, shift gears, so I followed his lead. But he was just lining me up to drop the sound on me. But I liked it. But what I'm saying is I became hypnotized, like, to everybody clap your hands. The moment I heard it, I was like, oh, who's against each other? I got real into it. And then he's like, Madison Baumgartner, and I don't know who the other dude is. Charlie Cicerly. And I'm like, oh, you think about this. I mean, Madison Baumgartner, maybe he shouldn't give up big, long ding-dongs like that. But then again, you can't really pimp out your trot like that. All of a sudden, I just got... Oh, here it is!
We got action.
We got action! Tenemos acción!
Y'all do it.
Who is it?
Oh, it's just Max Muncy again.
What? Well, that makes no sense. Max Muncy again? We just gave our opinions, I thought.
We need a better card.
I have no more fights.
You got to work on our card,
There's no
man.
More fights. There's nothing else going on in sports.
You got to put together an entire fight card because you really petered out there at the end. I like it. I'm ready to do that every day, boss.
I'll roll with it. Just get a couple, five or six fights, you know. Let us argue.
I like it. I like that he thought that out this morning and came in. He's all fired up. Excuse me, Alejandro, we need to talk to you over here. Not now. Bing, bing. No.
It's a, with the Justin Bieber, Tom Cruise thing, I would love if celebrities just start calling other celebrities out to fight.
That would be fun.
You can make money off of that, right?
Oh, that to me, like, give me that on pay-per-view. I'll watch that.
Because there's professional boxing, and you know what? It's didn't Tiger and Phil just do it?
Yeah, that
$10 million purse.
Yeah, it was the day after Thanksgiving.
But just Snoop Dogg and Kid Rock. Just go at it.
Snoop Dogg, I saw him, where was it, First Take? Yeah. I think last week on First Take. He's got my hairline.
Oh, it's sneaking back.
He's got my hairline.
And you see I wear my dreads loose in the front because you can't pull. He always pulls.
Man.
You can't pull the hairline, man. He's helping.
He's skinny.
How is he so skinny, right?
He is skinny.
He's high all the time. Doesn't he get the munchies?
He's got metabolism.
He has metabolism. He doesn't eat. And then it's crazy. I know dudes that smoke consistently, and it becomes like cigarettes to them, where they just like live life and roll. Yeah. It does nothing to them.
It's like eating a lozenge.
Yeah. No, because he smokes eating a lozenge.
A what?
Just popping a lozenge in your mouth. Does anybody do that?
He's lozenges.
We got action. Lozenges versus blunts. That's what I noticed at the Hootie and the Blowfish concert, because it's all people my age and older.
Yeah.
They bring actual blunts. Like nowadays, you can bring a vape pen. No one knows what you're doing. It doesn't smell like weed. There's no Hootie and the Blowfish concert. It's just blunts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, old
school. Old school. Yeah.
Oh, Big Randy.
Blunts.
Bro, give Big Randy a vapor pen.
He doesn't believe in it?
I don't know what's in that. I want some flour. That's what Randy ain't with it. I swear. Don't give me no crazy names, nothing made in no lab.
That's great.
Something that grew out the ground.
All right, let me talk here because Matt Steinmetz is going to join us in a few minutes. He's a host on 95.7 The Game. He's one of our radio.com sports insiders. We're going to talk some NBA finals tonight with someone who is a Bay Area expert. I love talking about Camp USA motorhome rentals, and I think Crowder's renting one for the for summer vacation.
Sir.
Have you planned your itinerary yet?
We're working on the itinerary today, and we're going up to Camp USA probably next week.
Very cool. You can rent, as Crowder is doing, an amazing luxury RV, and it starts with you going to see Sherry and Steve at Camp USA Motorhome Rentals in Pompano Beach. Summer vacations, like the Crowders, they're here, and maybe you want to take the family to Niagara Falls or the Smoky Mountains, go to the Coke Zero 400 in Daytona, reserve an RV for the infield, which is very cool. So if you mention WQAM when you book your summer rental for this month, July or August, Camp USA will extend their spring special of 10% off a minimum 3-day rental, except for July 4th week, that's a minimum 5-day rental. And don't forget college football season, you're going to have Miami and Florida playing in Orlando, kick off the entire college football season. Perfect event for a road trip with some friends. Camp USA Motorhome Rentals, been in business over 15 years, located just off the Coconut Creek Parkway exit on the Turnpike. Call 954-520-0075 or go to their website, campusarv.com. Camp USA Motorhome Rentals, they're in Pompano Beach. 954-520-0075 or go to check them out online at campusarv.com.